welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us. And of course, we'd like to have you guys check us out. Speaking of hanging with us on more than one place, not just listening to the beautiful voice of Ava and just me hanging out here. You can find us on where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And our interactive stuff there. And of course, Facebook, like us, please. Those things are going to be there and you guys want to check them out. Lots of cool stuff there. So, one story I'd hit at the top of the hour, accounting error.
Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, accounting error means a 4% decline in available dollars for habitat work in Minnesota. So if you're not financially inclined, I'm going to try to make it easy to understand, but there's complications that have to be wandered through or waded through to get there. Rob Drieslein, one of the friends of our show, did this report, and he happened to be wandering through, if you can wander through, a 102-page budget and economic forecast for the Minnesota Management. Now, this is for the state of Minnesota, and Minnesota Management and Budget Office report just came in, and he said page 47 had a cold sentence that only a CPA could love. Included in a non-tax revenue is $32 million upward adjustment to the prior year revenue due to a correction of an accounting error related to distribution of gross receipts tax revenue between general and legacy funds. Now, the legacy fund is set up to be an outdoor-related habitat, et cetera, fund. So two things jumped out from those words. One is $32 million, a big chunk of change, and legacy, which means, of course, the outdoor environmental projects. Mark Johnson, executive director of the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council, that's where those funds are allocated from, the group that administers and distributes the sales tax dollars for the fund, explained the situation. He said last week, along with the February budget forecast, the staff learned that the Department of Revenue's accounting error goes back to the early days of the Legacy Act in 2010. The Legacy was, or that committee was established on 2008. Johnson didn't know complete details of the malfunction, but the after effects break down as follows. Now, here's where it's simplified. Over 2 years, $2 million annually should have been entered in the state general fund. It actually went into different legacy accounts, parks, trails, clean water, arts, natural heritage, and the outdoor heritage fund. The latter interests outdoor news readers most, and it's the share of that $32 million comes out to $10.475 million. The dollars must be paid back to the general fund this biennium. Not pocket change, small percentage of the big almost $170 million the legacy bill contains. And again, that's dedicated to tax dollars for the next 2 years. The good news, forecast factors like interest earnings will offset some of it and should mitigate the $10.5 million loss to the Outdoor Heritage Fund and bring it down to $6.4 million. It won't decimate any projects. The statement came from Mark Johnson, but it does mean that some changes are going to happen. No projects will be cut from the current recommendations, and it'll take a small haircut. And in the final wash, we're talking about 4% decline in available dollars for habitat over the next 2 years, and it's not the end of the world, but the accounting error at Department of Revenue, this particular scenario. Rob said that he's not going to start yelling heads must roll, but how did no one notice a couple million going to the wrong accounts for 15 years? Ava?
For real.
And I want to, when you look at this kind of thing going on, it's the same thing that's going on in the general government right now. DOGE is trying to look at what's going on, where is money being spent. This is a prime example, and I'm wondering, because of the timing, in my mind, I'm wondering if somebody didn't say, you know what, maybe we should start looking at some various things that are maybe questionable, or we better get this in line before suddenly something actually comes up and says, well, this is not correct. So I think that piece of the puzzle is part of it. But again, I how you can do that. I don't get it. Do you, Ava?
Yeah, totally.
It's seriously, $10 million.
That's a lot of money.
It's
how does it just, yeah.
It's like it's 5% overall from that budget period, or 4%. But still, 4% of $168 million, I don't know. A lot of this it brings up questions with all the misspending and the messed up stuff. And it doesn't matter what political view you have. It doesn't.
It's good to find wasted money.
It's exactly correct. Yeah. And, you know, anytime this kind of thing happens, you have to kind of question it. Like the old segment.
Well, you can't spend money you don't have.
Well, it's kind of like the old segment we used to do, things that make you go, hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is exactly the situation we're in here. So, again, I think it's one of those things that we have to keep at the forefront, as they say. I'm just pulling through my stories here. I'm trying to pull up one of my stories that I was going to tell. And I may not be telling it because it's not there. Oh, well. But it was a good story nonetheless. And I will highlight what it was. Would you like me to highlight what it was?
Sure.
The first cougar cubs in more than a century were found just this last week in Michigan.
In the UP?
In the lower. The lower portion of the Michigan.
Okay.
So, very surprising, but they did find several cougar cubs, and it has kind of alerted the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, or Fish and Game, to keep their eyes out and have some questions that are asked on that side of the fence. So I'll bring that story, the full story, next week when we talk about that. So, big story, Minnesota DNR. This is where, it doesn't matter where you're at in the Midwest, everybody's heard of Mille Lac Lake and the trials and tribulations that have gone on
every
with that
year.
Lake. Every year, same
the
thing.
The political football.
And yes, thank you. Exactly my words, 100%. We've had two people on last year. We had the DNR on. We had a gentleman from Tutts Bait, who is a real strong advocate and part of the council up in that area. Well, here's the latest. The DNR has set the regulations for 2025 open water season on Lake Mille Lac. Last Thursday, they announced it daily. And if you're unless you lived under a rock, you may not have seen it, but daily in possession limit of 2 walleye this year during the upcoming season. It starts May 10th, goes through November 30th. They must be 17 inches or greater in length, and only one can be over 20. That's the most sensible, common sense thing as far as size goes. Because I remember before they would say, oh, we're going to go down to 14, and then they'd say, well, you can only keep 14 to 16-inch fish, right? The issue becomes on any fishery, it looks like a pyramid. The most fish you have are at the bottom of the pyramid. And as you go up to the peak, that's your bigger fish, your 24, 25, 26, 28, whatever inch fish. When they target that 14 to 16-inch size of fish, if you go to Mille Lac and you're going to fish, not one of those is going to escape. Any one of those that's caught, it's not going to be, well, we don't need it. It's going to go into the box.
Mm-hmm. Because that's all you can have.
And what ends up happening, that suddenly that pyramid doesn't become a pyramid anymore. It goes the other way around. It's an upside down pyramid. And then it tips over. And then you have major issues. Well, so I think they've gone about it the right way. And giving those fish a chance to get to that 17-inch length, that's good. The 2 walleye limit comes after the February Mille Lac Fishery Advisory Committee meeting, where most of the members told the DNR they favored a 3-fish limit at the start of the open water season. Last year's open water season started catch and release only before anglers were allowed to keep 2 walleye starting in mid-August. If you remember our conversation, how that went, that was...
So they're not even doing the catch and release at all?
You don't catch 2 fish right away. Following years of restrictive regulations, the DNR said the Mille Lac walleye fishery appears to be in healthy state. Wow. It went from critical mass last year to healthy state. Viewpoint shared by both state and tribal fisheries biologists. the DNR and Ojibwe Treaty.
At least everybody's agreeing.
Well, but how do you go from it's a catastrophe, the world's going to collapse,
Dude,
Chicken Little, the sky
take
is falling.
The win. Don't ask questions.
No,
just take
I'm
the win.
No, I Ava. This the problem you have
that's
is it's
what
only
they
way.
Want you to do.
Yeah. Well, the only way you can change and improve is to understand what
why?
Happened.
Well, yeah.
And why. And to question things is in this particular case is exactly what has to happen. You cannot have these things. This impacts people's lives up there.
Yes, it
and
does.
Not just people that have a resort on the lake. It's tackle. It's bait. It's everything is involved in the tourism business in that area. Whether you have a B&B up there, whether you have a hotel, whether you have whatever, it your property value, same thing. So again, it's just a passionate thing for me in this, and I really feel strongly about it. I think they're moving in the right direction, but it does surprise me that suddenly the biologists all agree and the DNR says this is a we should do this. The DNR and the Ojibwe Treaty tribes drastically cut harvest more than a decade ago, concerned by the number of factors, including changing ecological conditions and lower survival rates of young walleye. The reduced harvest is the move DNR says has paid off. If you remember correctly, one of the reasons that we said that I don't think it's in its state that it is was because the testing areas that they have been testing are not actually meaning test nets to check population were not where the fish had moved to as the condition changed. There's also, as they say, the Mille Lacs isn't a good place, Brad Parsons said. He is the Minnesota DNR section manager. The Ojibwe tribes and the DNR limited harvest, which allowed for an increased number of spawning walleye and a strong 2024 year class that bodes well for the future health of the fishery. There's also an abundance of forage in the lake due to strong yellow perch and cisco classes, and they're keeping the walleye in healthy condition. Higher availability of forage can reduce the risk of excessive angler catch rates. State licensed anglers share the harvest with the Ojibwe tribe, reserve the right to fish, wildlife, and other resources under the 1837 Treaty Act. That includes the Mille Lacs Band and Fond du Lac Band. Established to the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission in 1984, oversees off-reservation resource protection. And that's kind of the thing. It goes into some more in-depth concepts. Conserving the fishery, the annual harvest level is set through discussion and agreement between the state and the treaty tribes. The DNR said this year the agreement considered various factors, the increased adult walleye population, and resulted in a safe harvest limit of 113 pounds for state and 88 for the treaty fishermen. Pleased to announce the anglers increased harvest opportunity this season. Brad Parsons said, Mille Lacs continues to surprise us, making it hard to assume conditions will be the same from year to year. We appreciate coming to an agreement with the tribe that allows some additional flexibility. Through these changes, it includes the ability, in the event we exceed the state's share of harvest, to allow catch and release walleye angling as long as the state share of the harvest is not exceeded by 15%. So any amount above that would be deducted from the state's harvest next year. Protecting the lake, obviously protecting from invasive species, clean, drain, and dry. We love that as well, and that's part of what we do. Decontamination stations are there. And, you know, one of the things that's of note, when you look at fishing Mille Lacs, it is an amazing fishery. If you haven't been there, get a guide, go out, and you won't be, you will be amazed. You won't believe it because it is such an amazing and diverse fishery, whether it's a smallmouth on the lake, whether it's the walleye, whether it's the pike, whatever you want to go for. But if you haven't fished it and you want to get an education on it, there's a lot of people up there. Roach is one of them, one of the friends of the show. He's been a very strong advocate of the lake and really one of the guys that has helped promote and push what we want to do for that lake and try to do some more evaluations on the lake population. Instead of using the netting, just go for some forward-facing sonar. It's an effective tool. Utilize that piece of the puzzle. All right, moving off Mille Lacs. The stories just keep coming. I can't stop them.
You said it was going to be a good week.
We're jammed up here. Crossing the border this year, as you know, with tariffs and everything else going on, I think that will be somewhat of a moot point. I think this will be settled out in a period of time here. But nonetheless, border seems unimpressed in particles of dirt. In this particular case, guys going across, being in the border area with crawlers with dirt, you can't cross the border with dirt in crawlers. You can't do it. You don't even bother trying to bring them across the border. Whether you're on the water or not, you can't cross the border with night crawlers. It's silly because there's an imaginary line, but just realize if you're near the border, don't go across it. If you have crawlers in your boat, you will get a ticket. So one of the things that's also part of that is what is going to happen this year at the particular moment. We know questions will be asked, firearms, alcohol, tobacco, and where we're from and our relationship to others in the vehicle, et cetera. This year's, however, it may be a bit more complicated than just remembering to leave the raw potatoes at home. The ongoing terrorist debate between the two countries appears to be, at this point in time, something to look at. Mostly food and other supplies as well, may be subject to tariffs, duties, and a tax. Call it what you will, but it's an additional 25%. Alerts coming from resorters this year are happening now, and they're trying to appeal that decision, but it's going to be one that is going to need to be addressed. Non-resident visitors to Canada, hopefully we'll continue to have an exemption for their personal items and continue for that. But goods such as groceries, et cetera, and tobacco, that may be part of a tax that you have to pay. Traditionally, it's not been an issue, but many categories of groceries are non-taxable food items. So that's something to keep in mind and that they're looking at trying to get a waiver for if you're staying at a resort in Canada.
Gotcha. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Might as well just do all your shopping when you're there.
Yeah.
That's
recommendation
kind of
to prepare guests.
At.
Encourage them to consider purchasing groceries in Canada if they can. If they can't, don't do it. All right. Ava, for you, me, we are the Valley Outdoors. Hope everybody has a fantastic week. Enjoy the outdoors and be safe. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.